Blog Talk Radio.
September 9th, 2010. Welcome to Stitches Are For Bitches, Wear the Scar. This is the tribute show to the late, great J.C. Bailey. It's going to be a night to remember because J.C. gave us a life to remember. So as always, I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. And tonight, you know, as always, my co-host who'll be running the switchboard is Eric Williams.
Hey, what's going on, Jay? It's, you know, another show. And, you know, we just got to keep moving on and keep doing this and making an awesome tribute. And before we start this tribute off, I want to, you know, thank you and, you know, Nina for putting together this and that all the, you know, the people that we're going to have on for making this happen. And, you know, if it wasn't for you guys and, you know, for all the workers out there who bust their butt every night for, you know, for the love of the fans and stuff like that, you know, this wouldn't be possible. And I just want to thank you guys, you know, because it really means a lot for a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? Like Drake Younger, who I was talking to yesterday, you know what I'm saying, said that this means a lot to him, and it's going to really, you know, it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, JC, I mean, he really went out there. Every time he came out, he was a perfectionist. I mean, you seen him walk out to that ring, and, you know, there was no just going through the motions. I mean, he'd come out there and he'd move different things 1 inch from where they were, and just, I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing out there. You know, he gave his body in that ring, and ultimately he gave his life. And this is my way of saying thank you for everything he did for me as a fan. You know, so yeah, we have a lot of great guests tonight, and everybody's going to share, you know, their experiences at JC, some stories.
Continue. You there? Are you there, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. You're right. Okay.
Okay, so longtime friend of J.C. Bailey and leader of Cult Fiction, we have on the line now Billy Graham.
What's up, man?
Welcome to the show, Billy. You know, my condolences to you and everybody who has been close to JC. You know, it's a terrible thing to have to go through, but right now, you know, I really want to celebrate, you know, all the good times and everything that he left us with, you know.
Yeah, it's, oh boy. People don't hear me get caught up for words, right? All right, man, just straight up, like, J.C. Bailey, man, I mean, to say that J.C. and, well, I said this before last week to some people, man, you know, in a lot of ways, J.C. Bailey was like everybody else in one respect, that he had his ups, his downs, his victories, his triumphs, his struggles, you know. And the thing about J.C. Bailey was that was different than any person I've ever known, and I've known a lot of people in this life, and I cannot say this about anybody else I've known out of all those people, and that's that there's not a single person walking that's ever met, known, crossed paths with, worked with J.C. Bailey that ever had a bad word to say about the man, and I can't say that about anybody else. So I'll start there, and then I'll just say, man, I mean, the consummate performer, immeasurable energy, a passion that he embraced, a person that entertained countless people, put smiles on the faces of countless more, was a generous, kind, you know, up human being. And any of this negativity that's talked on my friend, I mean, you know, his problems that he might have had within himself certainly weren't problems that he put on to other people. It wasn't problems that, you know, we all have battles, I guess, with the soul, with ourself, and you know, for everything that JC did, the lives that he touched, the passion that he embraced, the consummate person that he was. I mean, we were in the midst of the second coming of JC Bailey, as far as I'm concerned, this past year in CZW, and that just peaked with his performance at TOD, and I mean, you know, it's been a pleasure working with him. And I know the things that he was saying to his pa and his family at home, you know, about how he felt about working with me, about with the whole thing with Cult Fiction, about the work we've been doing with the feud with Drake and the guys. And I just couldn't wait for him to get back next month. And I don't know, man. I don't know what else to say. I really don't. Like, there's just a part of me that I don't know how. I mean, there's something gone that's not going to be replaced for us in particular. And me personally, not.
Yeah, I understand, Billy. I understand fully. There is no replacing this, man.
So much for Mr. Outrageous tonight.
I understand 100%, and I'm only but a fan, and the amount of tears I've spent this past week.
Well, I got a fucking bottle of fucking Absolut right here, man. I'll tell you what, man. This is fucking for you, JC, man. I love you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know it's hard, Billy.
Built on the carpet there, man.
You know, if there's anything else you'd like to, you know, stories or anything else you'd like to get into?
I mean, coming in and finding out that, you know, with what happened to Cage of Death this year, you know, I mean, the big surprise that was on for Billy Graham, I mean, I didn't know why I had to keep it from any living soul that knew me that I would ever be in Philly last Cage of Death, but walking in the door with several individuals, you know, like with the guess what, we know something you don't know. And, you know, honestly, Drake being the one that said to DJ, like, I got to tell him. And Drake acting like a little kid and taking me in the back, you know, into the locker room. And I walk in and I see JC. And I was just, wow, man, like, glad to see you, hugging him. And like, wow, I can't believe you're here, man. This is great. And still not getting it. And Drake saying, well, read this sheet. And I'm like, I don't got my fucking glasses. I can't read the fucking, fuck that. JC's here. He's like, yeah, well, so is the new member of Cult Fiction. And you're looking at him. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. And JC just grinned ear to ear. And, you know, I mean, I think that what happened later that night is enough, you know, speaks for itself. And it just, a lot of good stories of JC, and just, like I said, a generous kind of... I can tell you some things about him, man, that I haven't been seeing people say, and I'll say him every time I can. A lot of people don't realize that you know, JC, you know, while they were trying to dig some dirt here or there like they do on anybody else, in reality, JC was a person who did so much for other people. He went and visited sick people, old people in hospitals. He went to little kids. He sat there like a kid himself, sitting in the middle of the ring with a Sharpie and 8x10s, giving them out to little children. I mean, visiting people that were more unfortunate, putting on Christmas shows to raise money for Christmas for families that didn't have anything, for kids that didn't have anything on those holidays. Work countless benefits for other brothers, man, that were in trouble, or, you know, the families of other bros that have unfortunately passed, you know. And the difficulty, I mean, he always was there, you know, to do a lot for a lot of other people, and I haven't heard anybody talking about those things, and that's things about the real person you know, that was out there, and I just wish more people would know that side of him and not dwell on, you know, any troubles he might have had or anything like that, because you know, certainly the good far exceeded anything that anybody could say. Like I said before, never heard a person that knew him mention a cross word, but you know, all that charity stuff that he did and things that he did to reach out to the community and just, you know, being good to the younger guys, and just it's not stuff I hear people, you know, getting up on the soapbox about, and I could do it. And you know, his friendships with my other friends prior to our close friendship, you know, with Toby, who I understand is coming. I mean, you know, you've got a bunch of good bros coming on here, Tracy,
absolutely,
you know, who helped train him, and you know, just Danny, you know, Ed Kingston, man, Sexy Eddie is the man. All good brothers, and all people that have things to say about JC. I know that I could, you know, I can't speak for 13 or for Brain Damage or Masada, but I think I can. I mean, Cult Fiction, obviously, partially a wrestling gimmick, but if you look at the few people that have, you know, have worn the colors, so to say, or, you know, it's not been a just, anybody old person they say. I mean, we're not the clique or anything that like that, but, I mean, people have respected enough what it's been about at various points that, you know, we've at least had some input or a decision, ultimately, on who would be a part of that group, and it's certainly not just a clique of you know, scripted, you know, if I'm making any sense to anybody right now,
and
that friendship was real, and so, I mean, those that went before, you know, the approval's obviously there, and the eyes on, and you know, that the five of us this year, you know, in CZW that have been Cult Fiction, I mean, that group, you know, in a short period of time together, I mean, the chemistry really is there, and so was the friendship and the real brotherhood, and I think that extended outward, you know, outside of our, you know, own little clique. I mean, you know, with some of the other cliques around us, including our frenemies, you know, so to say, and it's just hard to, I don't know, it's hard to make sense of anything right now. I just wish people would be a little bit more respectful sometimes and not jump into assumptions. And I think a lot of people have stepped up and been respectful, but it's going to be hard to just really even let things set with some of the, you know, there's JC is but one of, you know, several tragedies close to people in CZW and indie wrestling and professional wrestling, and certainly one of several very close to me in my own personal life this year, and it's just, you know, shock after shock. There's not really time to adjust to it, and I think I want to say before it even gets started that, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that I know how much JC had vested and how much belief he had and how much fun he was having doing what we were doing right now, and that's real deep. I can't really get into some things that deeper than people realize how much he was putting into this thing right now. I mean, specifically like our feud that we're involved in, our angle, our storyline, whatever you want to call it, and I know he wouldn't want us to stop, and I know his father said the same thing to me as recently as this afternoon. I mean, it's what he would want. So that's what my vote is, if it matters to anybody that's listening to anything. I don't know what anybody's thinking. I don't, you know, I guess we'll see. I just don't know what we can do to say or to pay tribute in a proper way other than just go out and do our shit, man, and be Cult Fiction, and hopefully somebody will see that we're, you know, we've got another guy that we're he's there in spirit large, you know, with us.
Absolutely.
And the Bailey family, I would definitely say straight from JC's dad, Joe. Some of his other relatives have been talking to me, you know, like frequently, like really, really appreciate it, really appreciate everything that everybody's done. It's reached out, the condolences, you know, other things, gifts to help in the sad situation, and I mean, including all those that turned out for his services, and I know especially they were touched by Drake's eulogy at his service, and I know that they're just really, really overwhelmed and touched by the sincerity that a lot of people, you know, have the way they've reached out and shown their love for JC, and I know it means the world to them, so I can say that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely echo, you know, statements as far as, you know, you said it happened at Cage of Death. I mean, that was not only one of the times that I left to my feet. That was one of the few times as a fan of wrestling that I left my feet, seeing that, because there is nothing more fitting than to add J.C. Bailey to the Cult Fixing. There's just,
you know,
it was one of those moments.
It was fun stuff, and, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, the line between reality and fiction is blurred, as we know, especially in this greatest sport of sports, professional wrestling. And you know, I'm the friendship and, you know, JC and I were certainly friends before. But, you know, acquaintances maybe that were becoming friends before.
Right.
And from the time that started over the course of the last year, I mean, just, you know, he was a collaborator, he was a co-conspirator, he was a running buddy, he was like, you know, my man in the ring, you know, he was a member of the cult, he was a technician, he was a talent, he was a charismatic individual, he was a person I had personal chemistry with that everybody else in the group had chemistry with, and he became more than that to me. I mean, a real friend, a true friend, a collaborator, a real, not just a brother, but a little brother and a nephew, and hell, I might as well say, like, under circumstances, if Joe wasn't around, like a son to me, you know, all those things and more. I'm blessed to have had the opportunity just to, you know, work with him at, you know, he gave, you know, the rub was reciprocal because, you know, JC and the cult back and forth, and I think it was working, man. There was a little bit of magic going on with us. And
if you don't mind staying on the line, I'd like to add to this call. I'd like to bring Toby on, fellow Cult Fiction member. Toby Klein.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Who are you calling a gentleman?
welcome to the show, Toby.
How you doing, Billy?
Well, you know,
I am hanging.
I'm doing.
I'm smoking in the boys' room, man.
I don't know. I've been telling people that are close to me these last couple of weeks that I'm numb right now over everything that's been happening as of late, and especially over JC. I've been watching match after match that I had with him. I pulled out just today a 2003 match from Combat Zone, a 2004 from IWA, a 2005 from IWA, and I see all these matches that I've done to help get me this cult status, if you want to call it that, and I know that I wouldn't have been there if it wouldn't have been for JC, you know. I mean, the man helped me get to where I was, and I helped him get to where he was, and it's just so hard seeing a brother like that gone now, you know.
Yeah.
The parallels are, it's not just what Toby just said about what they did for each other. I mean, it just, and that goes in inspiring each other, too, I think, right, Toby? I mean, push one another. Epic contests, you know, the three-way with Necro, right? I mean, am I thinking of the right one? Is that King of the Death 2000?
Yeah, that was the finals of King of the Death 05, and I mean, that just goes to show you the kind of man JC was. He was there to help people get to the next level, you know. He was there to help them, and it just, he was a tremendous athlete and a tremendous person, a tremendous man.
I mean, and I'm saying also, like, I mean, you look at the guys that are really touted for being the hybrid guys, you know, the guys that do death matches but still do technical work and can still, you know, have a lot of stamina and have a lot of versatility, like multifaceted workers on the indies. And, like, you know, you hear the names Toby Klein, you hear the name Drake Younger, you hear the name JC Bailey, you know, in that, you know, in that kind of stub category, you know, of guys that just hit that so similar in styles and everything is what I would say, you know. Yeah, I was, Toby, I was losing it already. I don't know if you were, were you listening to this show before I
listened to a couple minutes while I was waiting on hold, about a couple minutes before I come on, I was listening to you, but I'm actually at work right now, unfortunately, doing a day job.
A day job at night?
Well, yeah, a night job.
You didn't break any bars off any windows, did you, or anything?
No, I actually...
Wearing a mask that looks like, wearing a mask that looks like Burt Ward in the 60s.
I actually make phone calls for the National Rifle Association now. How strange is that?
You working for Charlton
Heston? No.
Get your stinking hands off, Mr. Insanity.
Wow.
Damn. You stinking hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have you guys on. As I mean, you guys were so close to him, and, you know,
who's
fellow
next,
member of Cult Fiction.
Who's next, man? Yo, don't kick me off before Sexy Eddie gets on, man, Jay, okay? Like, because we haven't talked.
Not a problem, Billy. You can stay on as long as you like.
Toby, man.
Yeah.
Toby is the one that got the message to me first about JC. I guess I should throw that in there for anybody keeping chronological notes of this for posterity. Yeah, I had a lot of phone calls, and the first one that I picked up, because it was so early, was Toby. He had this sad task of hitting me first before several other people that had called me, Mike Burns, DJ, Drake, Joe, and so forth.
Yeah.
What do you think, man? Toby, man, JC would keep rocking it, right?
Oh, boy, Billy, I've been in total shock and just totally numb since I heard.
Keep rocking it, right?
What's that?
Keep rocking it, right, man? Love, what
oh,
is yeah. JC loves wrestling more than anything on this earth except his family and his friends, man. I mean.
Billy, are you on the September 18th Indianapolis show? I'm booked on that now.
Nope, nobody's asked me.
Drake Younger actually got a hold of me the other day to wrestle, I guess, against Bull Payne on that show and the tribute show for JC.
It should be you with Bull Payne in a handicap match against Ian, man. And,
I know it's only a week away, but do you want me to try to figure out if we can get you there somehow?
Yeah, man, no offense, man, I'll do anything to help JC, and I'll do anything to help the Baileys, man, but I'm, like, you know, and I don't want to go any further than that, but, like, Ian's there, I'm not there, man, that's how it is. End of story. Next. Kick ass. Represent Cult Fiction, Toby.
What's that?
I said represent for the cult, man, and for JC, man, just, you know, tell Brother Bull,
okay.
I said, you know, yee-haw, man.
Okay.
Yeah, and definitely anybody in the area for that, definitely show up and support JC, you know,
yes,
the best way you can.
Absolutely. I can't take my drama to something that's meant for a good cause, and I can't coexist with that individual. I can't, so.
I do understand. Is there a benefit show on the East Coast for JC planned yet?
I think that Pondo is, that Pondo is doing a also sanctioned card for the Baileys, as is a promoter in Kentucky that was a friend of JC's that Toby, I'm sorry, his name escapes me, you might know who he was, and of course CZW is also doing some things to help raise some money for the Bailey family to help defer the cost of JC's services at Headstone. I understand there's going to be a memorial t-shirt and maybe some other things going on. And
if there's an actual show for JC on the East Coast, just help get me out there, buddy. I'll be there for you.
Right on, man. right on. Well, and I'm sure that tomorrow night at the arena in Philly, I'm sure that, you know, they'll give everybody details if they want to help, you know, JC's family, help the situation. They can they'll get the information they need to know on how they can do that tomorrow night at live at the arena. And I'm sure you can find that on JC's Facebook page. Anybody from Drake Younger to CZW, I believe, to all the Cult Fiction members. I mean, you can find anybody pretty much that was bros. I'm sure on Jay's, page,
yeah,
you can find, or on Toby's, you know, information on how to help the Bailey family out. If you're looking to help people, it's all you got to do is just go right there on the public page. You don't need to private message anybody, make any phone calls or nothing like that. It'll give you the information, you know, and it's out there, and they appreciate it. I know that, man. So, Toby, try not to, get caught, all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm staying, man.
Hey, Billy, I'm going to head back to work at this point. I'm getting called back into my job, so I love you, brother. Get a hold of me anytime you want, man.
I love you, too. Hey, man, and give the family the love, you know, and your girl. Give her a hug, and then kind of, like, drop the hand down and grab a little ass for me when you do, all right?
I will, and you got little baby Owen that just come into the world that you got to teach in the cult upbringing, so
yeah.
I got to get him out there to see you.
God help us all.
Thank you so much for coming on, Toby.
Yes, you guys have a good evening, and God rest JC. I love him.
Right on. Peace, brother. Love you, Toby.
Take care of yourself, man.
He's not coming for a while.
Yeah, what time we got now?
It's like 9:26.
yeah, we still got a minute.
What are we going to do, play Five Finger Death Punch, right?
If you like, if you don't mind, Billy, you could sit in. We could play it pre-recorded. We have quite a few lined up, and you had mentioned Bull Payne before.
Uh-huh.
If you like, we could play the pre-recorded message.
I would
from,
love to hear that. I'll sit here, and I will just do as my people have known to do for centuries, and burn some sacred healing herbs, and check out what you're. I'll stay right here. So don't.
Okay. Yeah. Just stay on the line. We'll
right
play
here.
That. Pre-record from Bull Payne and
Bull Payne rocks, man. He kicks ass straight up. Right.
Yeah, and we should have Eddie on shortly after.
Right on.
All right, Eric.
All right. Yep. You ready?
Yep. To the show, longtime wrestling veteran and longtime friend of JC Bailey, Bull Payne. What's going on, Bull?
Hey, man. What's going on, brothers?
Hey, not much, man. Just, you know, I kind of wanted to get your thoughts and, you know, memories of JC Bailey. I know you've known him a long time, so,
Yeah, JC Bailey, I first met him when his dad used to help us out at a promotion, which I'm not going to give any props to because I can't stand the man that runs it, so, that's how I first met JC. His dad was helping us out, and then eventually his dad started his own promotion called BBW, did Bands of the Bone Wrestling, and then JC jumped in there, and that's basically how I met him. He was like 13 years old when I first met him. He was just a kid, so he was a good kid, crazy, you know, wanted to know everything. Anything he would say and do, man, he absorbed it like a sponge. He loved the world of wrestling. He just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, he told a story in the shoot interview that he said when he said, I think it was his first match that you were watching, and I think it was against a guy named Simon Says. And he said that, you seen it, and he said, hey, you dance really nice, but can you wrestle? We'll see you tomorrow. Something along those lines, and
yeah,
it cracked me up, man, because...
Yeah, I said, you guys can dance really good, but can you work, you know, so...
Right.
And what that means is most guys in the back, especially the younger guys that really don't, you know, and I don't want to say they don't know how to work, but they just are not, they weren't trained to work the way old school guys are. We work everything on the fly. I just want to know how you want to start the match, if there's anything special you want to do, and then the finish. And the rest is just all on the fly. We call it while we're out there. A lot of the young guys, they just sit in the back and they basically go through the whole entire thing. And then when they go out there, if they screw up or if one gets hurt or the people don't like it, they short circuit because they don't know what to do then, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's something you said to him on day one, and I could tell you, in my opinion as a fan, I think he did learn to work. So he took it to heart.
No, James. Well, I want to say something about JC. Still a little bit tough,
right.
But JC was a hard worker, a good kid. He had a lot of demons in his life, you know, and he really tried to beat them. But you know, things happen, and you know, your body hurts, and you know, he put himself through the meat grinder. You can't say that he didn't. And anybody that watched his matches or watches any of these kind of matches and thinks that that's fake and it doesn't hurt, and you know, I'll invite any one of you guys to come on in the ring with me, and you see how fake that is. Because the next day, you think it hurts when we're doing it. That's not when it hurts, because your adrenaline's pumping, and you know, you want to. The fans appreciate you, and you want to give them their money's worth. And so, you know, it don't hurt at the time. I mean, it might sting a little bit, and it might irritate you, but the next day is when it hurts, or that night when you cool off, that's when it hurts. So what JC did to his body in a matter of a few years, he probably did more damage to his body than some wrestlers have done to their body in their whole career. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm not defending anything that JC did, but I'm trying to get people to understand and rationalize why some of these things did happen, because people don't understand the brutality of what we do to our body, you know. And the sad thing is, a lot of us don't make any money doing it. We just do it because we love the sport, we love to wrestle, and we love to excite the crowd. And really, that's the bottom line, you know.
Yeah, it's much appreciated by us, and that's why we had to do this tribute, because JC did put every bit of his body out of there, and you know, he left us with nothing but memories. So, you know, I just want to reflect on that.
You know, there were times that I pulled JC aside in the back, and I said, JC, please don't do this. You don't understand what kind of injuries you could get, you know. And he said, no, man, I'll be all right, Bull. He says, you taught me well, you know. And I said, JC, I never taught you how to do that. I didn't teach you how to fall out of a scaffold into a barbed wire net, you know. I didn't teach you how to do a barefoot thumbtack match, you know. I didn't teach you how to do some of these things, and I personally wouldn't do them, JC, you know. And I said, JC, this is not a pay-per-view, dude. You're not making $50,000 or something, you know. You're making $100, $200 if you're lucky, you know. But he would not stop at anything to. You know, to get his fans excited and to give them their money's worth. He was a true devoted wrestler. He was a very good kid.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to get everybody out there to actually understand that as well as I do as a fan, that, you know, I mean, he put everything out there for the love of the business and nothing more.
Well, you know, everybody wants that shot at WWE or WCW or go to Japan, you know. Jesse's big dream is to go to Japan, and he got to go to Japan. So I was happy that he was able to fulfill his dream of not only becoming a wrestler, but actually getting to go to Japan and wrestling. And that was the pinnacle of his career, you know. And a lot of guys don't even get that chance to go to Japan. But, you know, we're all out there for one reason, and that's basically because we love the business and because we want the fans to get their money's worth, you know.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I don't know if you got any other stories or anything else, you know, just times with JC.
Well, you know, I don't know if you want me to touch on some of these horrific things that happened at the funeral. If you'd like me to do that, I really would like to. If you don't want me to
do
that.
If you like to, that's completely up to you, bro. You know, it's an open forum, and you're more than welcome to air that out.
Right. Well, I just want to say before, I'm not trying to bruise or scar or do anything to JC Bailey, because I love the kid. But there was a certain individual that came to the funeral or laying out of the body, and the mother asked him to leave, and he just wouldn't leave. You know, he was very disrespectful, and in fact, the man even had the balls to come back to the funeral the very next day. I think that's one of the most disrespectful things I've ever heard of in my life. And this person should, nobody should ever work for this guy again. He should be barred from the wrestling business what he did crossed the lines between anything that I think that should ever be crossed. And then the man actually had the balls to ask the deceased family for gas money so he could make it back home because he had spent supposedly all his money and he didn't have any way to make it home. And that to me is one of the most horrific things you could ever do. How can you disrespect the family in such a time of serious grief like that? And the only reason I'm saying this is because I want the people out there to hear what happened, and I want them to know what a scumbag this son of a bitch really is, because he is a waste of human life, a piece of dog shit, and I hope and I pray that nobody ever works for this son of a bitch again, but I know some people will, but it's pathetic. You know, I can't even, I'm actually at a loss for words, but I am so frustrated and upset. All I can say is that I am supposed to work that individual on the 18th, and if that really does happen, I'm going to settle the score.
Yeah. I just add to that by saying, I did read that when you posted it online, and I'm pretty sure I know exactly who you're talking about, and I agree with you, man. Very, very disrespectful person, you know, and I can't even believe that someone would ever, you know, step that line in somebody's passing. That's a terrible thing, man.
Well, how can someone be so disrespectful, so callous, and so self-absorbed with themselves that they think that they're more important than the funeral? I mean, if you know that the mother and father never cared for you, you can still, you can still respect his death in another way, but not by not coming to the funeral. I mean, that would have been the most respectful thing to do. But instead, that person came to the funeral. It was very rotten of him to do that, and it made me want to puke. Obviously, I didn't hear of this thing till after the funeral. Otherwise, I'd have personally thrown him out myself, because I've never heard of such a disrespectful thing done in my entire life. It was far beyond anything that should have ever been done. I mean, Jamie...
But, overall...
Yeah.
I understand, man. Overall, I think in the long run, JC's legacy and, you know, his memories and, you know, everything he's given to everybody is going to overshine anything that somebody negative could do, you know?
Oh, definitely. JC was a great kid. He was always upbeat. He was always fun to travel with. I can't tell you how many times when we did travel that I'd be driving because JC a lot of times didn't have a license. And...
Right.
It'd be a long drive, and he would sit shotgun with me, and he would make sure I didn't fall asleep. You know, he was respectful enough to keep talking to me about, I mean, whatever. You know, sometimes you talk about the stupidest stuff, but it's just to keep your brain going and to stay awake, you know? So, JC was a good kid. We'd laugh a lot. We had a great time. You know, I want the fans to understand one thing. JC gave everything he had.
Yeah. He sure did. Yeah, like I said, man, these people who are negative, you know, they're never going to live up to JC. They're going to have to rest with that.
Yeah, you know, the only reason I even brought it up is because I want the people to really hear what happened, because I'm sure it, you know, I mean, yeah, I posted it on my Facebook, and I've slandered. I haven't slandered because I never actually mentioned his name, but I've said what actually happened. And actually, it's not slander because it's the truth. I didn't lie or change any of the facts. Everything I said was true. So, you're not slandering. You're telling the facts. You know, this is a freedom of speech country, so you can say what you want, you know. JC was a great kid. I know I've said this 100 times, and I'll say it again. The man would do absolutely anything to excite the crowd and to make the fans love the show. So, you know, if anybody doesn't understand that, it's a sad thing, because this man gave everything he had physically, mentally, and sometimes monetarily just to be there so he could put on a show for the fans. He was a very great kid and very respectful, and, you know, he was just very dedicated to the business.
Yes, he sure was, man. I mean, he's done a million things in that ring that I wouldn't even consider, you know, 10 times over.
They say I'm a hardcore son of a bitch and I'm a tough motherfucker, and, you know, I appreciate all that, but let me tell you something. There's some shit that he did out there that I would say no to. I just wouldn't do it. You know, because
that's a high standard.
You know, like I said, he had no fear. He had no fear, you know, and I know many times, I know how my body aches, so I know many times, I'm sure he laid in bed for a few days after his matches. and couldn't get out of bed. So, you know, and, you know, and he had his fiance, you know, who I know tended to his wounds quite a bit, and his loving mom who took care of him. So, you know, he had some good people taking care of him, but it still didn't alleviate or ease the pain, you know.
Not at all. So, yeah, man. Well, you know, I want to thank you for coming on. I think, you know, it came off really well, and, you know, it's unfortunate that we have to be, you know, talking under these circumstances. It really is, because, you know, you respect a lot of guys in the business, and, you know, when you got to talk to them about somebody else who isn't here anymore, it's, you know, it's really sad. So, but thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
and,
Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
To all you young workers out there, I know your body hurts, okay? And if anybody doesn't believe that, like I said, just get in the ring with me. I'll be more than happy to twist you around and let you feel what it hurts, what it feels like. But please, please, please stop abusing things. You know, if your body hurts, fine. Take a little bit of medicine, but don't get hooked on this stuff, guys, because I buried too many of my brothers because of this stuff. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. And I mean, JC was 27 years old. You know, Lance Gage was what, 30 years old. Luna Vachon was 48 years old. I mean, all my friends are dying, and it's uncalled for. You know, JC died of a brain aneurysm. I want to make that perfectly clear. He did not die of a drug overdose. But
absolutely,
you know, he had so many demons in his closet. And he had. So many things against him, and, you know, some of that might have been some of that problem. So, you know, please, you guys, if your body hurts, take some time off. You know, let it heal. Don't continue to beat your bodies up to the point where you think you have to take these drugs to keep a job or to continue working, because it's not worth it, guys. I mean, too many of my friends I put under the ground, and it's a terrible and horrific thing every day. You know, it hurts your heart every day, you know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm not trying to bring everybody down, you know. It was a message I just wanted to get out to the people, because it's been on my brain for a long time, you know?
No, I understand, man. And, again, I mean, thank you so much for coming on. It was a great listen, man. I'm sure everybody's going to enjoy it. You know, what you told everybody, the stories, and, you know, your feelings on the whole situation. So, thank you again.
Well, hey, thanks, guys. And,
yeah, thank you.
Well, you ever need some stories, I'll be more than happy to sit down and chat with you or whatever, because I love to tell the people, you know, I love my fans, and I love the fans out there, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a job. So, thanks, guys, for listening, and thanks, anybody that's ever spent a dime to see me, thank you so very much. I appreciate it with all my heart, that you have no idea how much I really, really and truly appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself. God bless, all right?
Yep.
You too.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Peace. All right. we're back, and how do you feel about that, Billy? I mean, I thought he did a great tribute. And,
I love Bull, man. Me and Bull and I are boys, man. You know, so I have to make that disclaimer that, yes, I am biased as far as Bull goes, because we're buddies. And, you know, I don't want to it's the J.C. Bailey tribute show. So I can say on one hand that I am glad that someone like Bull would stand up and start publicly voicing his displeasure with a certain individual after, for so long, being one of the only public voices against said unnamed individual. But anyway, as I was saying, it is the J.C. Bailey tribute show, not the talk about fucktard show. So let's keep it a tribute to J.C. Bailey's all on.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Enough was said about the negative, and Bull's message, I think, was good. It was strong. I know they go back. I don't know. I'd like to ask, is Tracy going to be on a taped in, or is he live?
He's live.
Okay.
Yeah, we got him on.
Because Joe told me a story today about JC and Bull and Tracy, and I could I could spring it on him for you, but I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah, and wow, Tracy, another one who has a little history with us, full circle here. I thought that was a good message what Bull had to say about the fans and about taking care of yourselves and, you know, what did you think? How about that? What did you think, Jay?
I thought it was phenomenal. I mean, really heartfelt, and as you can see, you definitely weren't the only person getting choked up through this, and rightfully so, man.
Yeah, I caught that. Finagle my way into staying on because, like, there's Pete, you're having these guys on that are my friends I haven't talked to, and certainly better than, you know, waiting any longer.
As a friend of mine, Billy, you know, you're more than welcome. That's not
cool.
A problem ever,
that's
you know.
That's ace. Because I was actually really, you know, I didn't say yes right away. I was going, do I want to even, you know, like, talk about this? I'm even saying like now.
Yeah, I'm sure it was really hard.
A little coffee to chase that absolute down here right now and see how that,
Like I said, I mean, Bull, I mean, he really did, you know, heartfelt, and he got his words out there to, you know, what people need to do and take care of themselves in the business. And if this guy doesn't know after all the years he's worked, then I don't know who does.
Yep. I would say that Bull's been around long enough to give some good sound advice because, after all, he's not done in the business either. He still works.
No.
And right. Look at what he's done in his career, and he's lasted a long time and been pretty much crazy the entire time, and has a lot of respect from a lot of guys in the business for being Bull and not selling out and staying Bull. And, you know, Bull is no Bull, you know, I guess is what I like to say. He's Bull pain, not bullshit. And the man does not spew shit. And a legit tough guy and a gentle giant, a man who reminds me of many of the dearest qualities of somewhere between Oxbaker and brain damage, you know, somewhere in there is Bull, and that's a good thing. Some of the best qualities of both, I would say. So props to Bull, man. This coffee salute is to Bull. Cheers, Bull.
I mean, we should have Eddie on shortly. You know, like I said, we got a lot of people planned for tonight. You know, between Eddie and Nate Webb, and I mean, we got, you know, all these other people, and you know, definitely. I mean, those are two members of, you know, the prior Team Cash, and you know, JC broke
two of
Cash into the deathmatch scene, and I'm sure they're up there having a good time. You know,
two of four Team Cash members have
passed,
and two of four are on your show tonight. Is that right?
Right, and I wish it could be four of four, and this wouldn't even be a tribute. But
the other two are here in spirit, man, and that's
right. Absolutely, yeah, and that's something that, you know, I feel like very, very dearly that, you know, I'm doing this because I feel I have to, because I mean, everything he gave to me as a fan, he deserves this to the very least, but at the same token, I hate doing it because I'd rather him be here any other day, you know, than to have to do this, you know. But this is it's a tribute because he gave us so much, and this is my thank you as a fan, and you know, I hope everybody enjoys it because, I mean, he gave this to not just me, to everybody whose eyes were open watching him, and
Well, amen. Amen, and I second that motion there.
Yeah.
I second that. That was well put.
Yeah.
Where's your other boy at, man, on this show? Wasn't there someone else on the line? He's quiet.
Yeah, Eric, he's pretty much working that switchboard, waiting patiently for these guys to call in, and that's more or less his...
He's under a gag order on this subject? Or?
No. Eric, say hello. Eric.
All right, that's it, man. He snubbed me socially.
Socially.
Why?
Why?
Snub me.
Snub me.
Jake,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're ready. Sexy Eddie's on the line.
Okay, you know, as previously mentioned, welcome to the show, former Team Cash member, one of the two surviving members. Welcome to the show, Sexy Eddie.
Yeah, man, this is, I just want to say right off the bat, it's a good thing that that we're doing. Everyone's kind of bringing their memories together for a good guy in and out of the ring, a death match, I could say a death match legend, and an all-around great wrestler. So this is a good tribute show we're putting together, and I'm just happy that everyone's able to help out and just remind everyone of what a good person Joseph Carl Bailey was.
It's very deserving. Just to let you know, we also have Billy Graham on the line, Stu. Still on with us. He really wanted to, you know, hear your thoughts and everything else. And
now, I wanted to bring up, too, one of the first times, because here's the thing. When we were in Team Cash, this was something that was kind of put together quickly. I was kind of thrown into the mix. I was the last participant of that for the Team Cash Cage of Death match. And so I wanted to know a little bit about, like, you know, who I was going to be wrestling with. So, you know, I checked a couple promos, and I laughed a lot when I saw Spider Nate Webb checked out Chris Cash, who was an up-and-coming rookie at CZW. But then after I remember Bailey, the match that I saw with him was it was 2003. It was the King of the Death match. I probably already touched on this. It was a light tube coffin match he did way back. And yeah, now I just seeing all the light tubes and stuff, I was like, man, I'm getting into more than I can handle. But you know, it was so that was my first video that I've seen of him. And then even then, backstage at that particular match, I know we were working on some stuff we were going to do, and already in the locker room was Eddie Kingston, Sabian, and Ruckus, but Jack Evans hadn't showed up yet. And I remember even Bailey saying, like, man, we're gonna F him up. We're gonna rough him up good. He's not here right now. He's late. He's got some other things to do. So, yeah, it was funny to be backstage with him, and we had a lot of similar ideas. We're here to put on a crazy show, to put on some innovative moves in a cage, and he was one of the guys that came up with some good stuff. I mean, we had like I said, a similar goal to put on an awesome show, and we did that. And to win, that was my first belt actually to win at CZW. Was the tag team belt. And there's shots of us when we're on top of the cage at the end of the match. I didn't remember any of that. I got a concussion. But it was afterwards we started shooting some promos and stuff that I was like, wow, we won these things. And so he was part of that. For me, it was kind of a big, that was the crowd had to accept me. Once, like, you know, they saw me do a couple matches, but once you win one of the belts, you're one of their own. And so it was good to be part of the family with Bailey, with Cash, with Nate. So yeah, that was my first match I did with Bailey. Actually, then a year later we wrestled each other at Tournament of Death 4, and you know, another good experience working against the guy. He was able to bring up my level of hardcore and of deathmatch wrestling. He brought it up a notch. I got to work with the guy on both sides of the spectrum. You know, like I said, he's accomplished so much. Just go through YouTube and you just type in JC Bailey, type in death matches, and you'll see how much work he's done and how much he puts in, even when the crowd, you know, sometimes you got under 50 people, but the shit he could do, the shit he put his body through for the entertainment of the crowd, you know, he's just tremendous, tremendous athlete, a tremendous person.
Yeah, you left quite a legacy. I remember that King of the Death match you're speaking of, and correct me if I'm wrong, Billy or anybody, but I believe he was 19 years old when he did that.
I'd go back now. Yeah, it was 2003. again, I'm not that good at math neither. Getting the chair shots in the head too. I mean, it's these things never help and stuff. But yeah, no, he was younger than I was when I started wrestling. I started at 21, and these guys, to like be able to work with some of these guys that are younger than you and already had more years experience, it was it's something. It's good. I find it keeps you humble working with some of these guys and knowing them. And you know, we all come from different walks of life. And a lot of things that the fans don't know, that a lot of the fans will believe they know us. And they do know us. They know a part of us, an extension of us, in what we do by our DVDs and in our wrestling matches, because they're all watching us in the show. But, you know, we all have, let's say, different other side jobs. We all have families. You know, we all have little cousins and brothers and sisters and stuff. And that's the thing, too, sometimes people will forget and disassociate because they see how violent we can get. But on the other side of it, we're just trying to get by. You know, we do our 9-to-5, and we're the weekend warriors, and you know, we give like Bailey did 110%. You know, every time we go out there in the ring, and you know, I don't know what else to say about this guy, a great guy. You know, I would have loved to work more with him even, and you know, it's always when things are too late that, you know, people kind of come out and they're like, man, I wish I could have known him a little more as a person also, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Eddie, man, what's up, bro?
Hey, how you doing, man? You've been since the beginning of the show. I know, so you're trooping, going through hard on the show, but you knew him. Actually, you're one of the guys that knew him more recently. I mean, the whole Cult Fiction thing. And you know what? For me to see JC come out of hard times and go as far as he did, you know, and pick up his game, I mean, you know, thanks to you guys. Thanks to Toby, too, for bringing him up, too. I mean, he had a good thing going with Cult Fiction. And it's good to see when some of these guys come back after a year, 2 years, not in the scene, and they're able to pick up exactly where they left off and even surpass the limit.
Jay, Eddie is my buddy too, man, like JC, and like, as you can tell just by everything he just said, like another one of these rare gems of a person, man. Like, he's really a sweetheart and that really kind and upbeat, always putting a smile on somebody's face kind of guy. I mean, it was cool for me just to hear you talk, Eddie, about, you know, the whole thing when you guys did the Team Cash thing and everything like that, because those stories right now are good to hear.
I could actually share. There's one funny story too.
Yes.
Actually, it might lighten things up a little bit. It was a match that was supposed to happen. It was actually JC Bailey against Damien, a guy from Quebec, and this guy, he was just starting out some of his English. I mean, so already had a thick French accent, and he was supposed to be going up against JC Bailey. He got hurt in the afternoon show because we did an IWS show or something like that. And then he broke his hand or something in that match, so he couldn't fight Bailey after. But they had already talked about planning some of their stuff. And you got JC with his thick Louisville, Kentucky accent. I mean, you have a French guy and a Kentucky accent, and I was the mediator. Now, I could only understand, and at this point, you know, we were wrestling in the afternoon, so some guys might have had a couple beverages, you know, just to lighten the mood and stuff.
Possibly.
So you got two guys that are a little bit, you know, a little bit tipsy that I already had problems understanding. So I'm trying to translate between these two guys, and I mean, that in itself, I was like, man, this match is never going to happen. It did, because Damien, like I said, he had broken his hand or hurt his hand. I don't remember exactly, his fingers or something. But you know what? That was something that I was like, how the hell is this match going to turn out? These guys can't even communicate. And, I mean, I know like JC's wrestled, I can't remember the Flying Monkey there, the guy who's missing all his front teeth. He's got a gun. Yeah, there he is. And, I mean, I'm sure they had an easier time to communicate. But I was just being a translator, you know, I was like, I'm sitting in my underwear trying to translate some of the stuff they're saying to each other. It was just a funny sight to see to see this. That's one of the stories backstage that I had.
That's
I
the only thing Jesse Eddie wears, right, is his underwear, right? There is no other.
I do my groceries like that, too. And, I mean, you know what, JC, Nate, and they could, you know, they would have all told you the same thing. I mean, the thing after the Team Cash thing is we partied hard, and, I mean, you know, not only do I respect people in the ring, I mean, you know, through their work ethics, but if they can stand tall and you know, party all night with Sexy Eddie, and they're still on their feet by the time the sun's coming up. I mean, you know, the strippers are all knocked down, and you know, the wrestlers are still standing. Those are the ones I respect the most. And you know, Team Cash had some of the strongest troopers right there.
Right on.
Yeah, I actually remember that day. I think Damien wrestled Viking on the early show, didn't he?
Yeah, it was in the afternoon show, and. So yeah, I don't remember exactly. I know that he was holding an ice in his hand, and it was pretty swollen stuff. But
yeah.
You know,
I remember looking forward to that night show.
Yeah, that's what the wrestling world is all about. You know, you never know what'll happen and stuff. And I mean, yeah, it hurts. Especially, it feels like it's more in the wrestling world that there's always tragedy after another tragedy happening and stuff. I mean, I guess it happens in all professional sports, but because wrestlers are so close to the people and the fans and to each other, like, you know, no matter from we're different states or different countries, you know, once you bleed with someone, it's like an unwritten code. You're blood brothers now, you know?
Yeah.
Right on. I think that's like a really cool thing that you raised earlier to the same issue about like everybody coming from such a different place to where you all meet at that point, you know what I mean? And what kind of bond that is and that, you know, it's, and that's why those people all really, you know, they resonate with you and they really walk really strong with you, like, forever. You know, you can have, like, a lot of intensity in a short period of time, too, with somebody. It's like any other kind of relationship, like a romance, you know, that you know, it can be, you know, life-altering experience when you work with somebody, you know, with that passion, you know, for putting on a show and you know, you have that moment that you work together for, you know, the moments you're talking about now, you know, that it, for some of us, that lasts forever, you know what I mean, that either we're sitting there in the front row or we're watching it on a DVD or we're involved physically, you know what I mean, it's beyond a Kodak moment, it's so.
You're so right, man, and there's nothing that, I mean, I remember there's nothing that JC would, like, you know, even hesitate on. I mean, he knew it would go over with the crowd, and, like, he can do it. I mean, no matter how you're going to hurt the next day or the next week, you know, Bailey was all about, like, electrifying the crowd. You know, he was always there to take it up a notch. Even, I think it was at Tournament of Death 3, him against Chris Cash. I think it might have been a first-round match, too. And it was ladders and light tubes, and they did some spots that I was like, wow, that is, you know, to think up some of this stuff. And it's good to be able to work with, like I said, from all different walks of life, guys that have the same vision, the same, or look to the future in wrestling, and it's like, you know what, how can we make this even crazier, and how can we take it up a notch? And, I mean, he was one of those young minds that was passionate about wrestling. And, you know, when you're passionate about wrestling that much, I mean, you're passionate about life. You're passionate about everything. And, you know, what more to say? I mean, like I said, I would have loved to know him more as a person. I got to know him as a warrior. And, I mean, he took me up my limits. And, you know, I'd like to imagine that I did the same for him. And, you know, that's... in all of his matches, and that's what it shows. You see the crowd standing up, and, you know, he's a main eventer. And no matter how big he was, he, you know, pound for pound, he's one of the top guys.
And toughest.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely, man. Wow.
Yeah.
What a...
Yeah, I don't think that there was a match or stipulation that this guy hasn't done, and on top of that, I don't think you couldn't put him in the top of any one of those stipulations. You know, every match he put on, he was such a perfectionist. I said this earlier, but I got to repeat it. But he, you know, know, he came out there and he'd move things a half inch. You know,
everybody's agreeing tonight about his amount of passion, about his output, you know, his energy level, you know, his willingness to push the bar and his, you know, next level of risk taking, being a daredevil. It's everybody on the show so far tonight said the same things, and so once again, and right back to him being a really great guy. You know what I mean? So, wow. You know, not a failure, a life well lived as far as I'm concerned. That's, you know, to touch so many people in that way and be perceived and have the kind of reputation and respect. I mean, a young life, yeah, but not a tragedy, man, a triumph as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, we're all here, it's one thing, we're here to celebrate the life of JC,
right,
and I guess you can't say that enough. We're here to celebrate his life. So I celebrate his legacy, and you know what? The memories live on through all our thoughts and through DVDs. I mean, you know what? If there's some people listening that maybe only saw one of his matches or, you know, heard about him, you know what? Like, really check him out. Just check some of the stuff he did, and you know what? You'll probably be seeing some of those things done 10 years from now because of young and upcoming wrestlers will be like, man, I got to innovate some stuff. And you know what? I'm sure they're going to be taking stuff from the pages of J.C. Bailey. And so, I don't want to take – I know there's a lot of other people, too, to call in, so I don't want to take too much more time. I just wanted to thank you guys for giving me some time just to speak on my memories of J.C. Bailey. So
it's not a problem, Eddie. It's been a pleasure.
Love you, brother. Thanks. Eddie, man. Give me a holler, man.
Thank you, guys.
Give me a holler.
Thank you, guys, and – and, you know, continue. Great show. And, this is a great thing we're doing for him. So rest in peace, Joseph Carl Bailey.
Thank you. So that was Sexy Eddie, and it was unbelievable. He did a great job. I mean, everybody's got memories because, I mean, this guy he can't be forgotten. My opinion as a fan that I don't think a legend is created by time in the business. I believe it's by body of work. And I believe JC, while in the business, was a living legend. And
what a body of work it is, that's for sure, man.
Yeah.
Body of
yeah.
work it is, man. There's no debating or refuting that either.
No.
Like Eddie was just saying, if you've seen one match or something like that, well, you know, get to catching up. Like I would concur with his opinion and prediction that, you know, generations in the future may be copying some things from the back catalog of JC's matches in the future, looking for gems, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely is right, you know. So what's next, Jay?
I don't know what time we got.
I do. It's 10:08 Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. Yep. Well, we were supposed to have Nate Webb in on. He was supposed to already be called in. We do have several
Nate's
other
not
pre-records.
Here, man. Nate's not here, man.
No, not yet.
Nate, man, where are you, man? Like, man.
But, you know, we do have several other pre-records. You know, I mean, we can go at one of those.
What do you got?
On the list we have Thumbtack Jack.
Let's hear the brother, man. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Take me
let's queue up that Thumbtack Jack.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is Stitches Up for Bitches Wear the Scar. Our special guest at this time is international deathmatch superstar, Thumbtack Jack. How you doing, TJ?
Hey, guy. Just you for having
You know, I just kind of wanted to get you on and get, you know, your thoughts and memories of your time with JC Bailey.
The first time I actually ever got to meet JC was in December at Cage of Death, last year's Cage of Death. And I just remember him walking up to me and being all like, hey, I'm JC Bailey. And all I thought was, dude, you do not have to introduce yourself. I know who you are, because he and Nick Mondo, those were the two guys that actually really got me into being a hybrid wrestler, being an ultra-violent wrestler, combining the high-flying violence and hardcore. So yeah, he was really, he alongside with Nick Mondo was really a big, big role model for me. And we started talking in December, and he was all like, yeah, my father actually hooked up with DVDs of yours, DVDs from you, the dubbing stuff you have done, and talking about stuff like 2004, 2003, the really early ages of my career. And that was just amazing for me to actually hear that he had watched all my stuff and, like, from the beginning of my career, so to say.
Yeah,
that was just special for me. That was the first time I ever met JC, and then had the chance to work with him in March for CZW, a barefoot thumbtack match. And that match is always gonna be special for me, because one thing, that was my last death match I've ever done in the USA, and it was my first time wrestling with JC, my first time wrestling with.
Are you there?
What a painful experience it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was an unbelievable match. It was really crazy, I mean, to watch. And, you know, it's thumbtacks. I mean, this guy's done so many barefoot thumbtack matches. I couldn't imagine doing half of one, so.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect from that match, because I've never done it before, and I asked other guys, like, how bad is it going to be, and they were like, well, it's going to suck pretty bad, and as soon as I took the first bump, I was just like, this sucks even worse, this is just horrible, like, how could this guy do, like, a dozen of those matches, like, just can't believe it, and he's just a nutcase, like, he took that syringe to his foot, and seriously, like, I'm not kidding you here, this is no kayfabe shit, whatever, I never had problems in my ultra-violent career dishing out punishment, doing horrible, horrible things to other guys. But seriously, that was the first time me sticking this syringe in his foot where I felt like, oh my God, this is wrong. You're not supposed to do that. Like, you're not supposed to stick a syringe into someone else's foot. Like, that's just wrong in every way. And if you watch the videotape closely, you can actually see me not looking, like, I'm just stabbing him, and I look away for, like, a minute. I turn around, like, take a blink over my shoulder, and I see the syringe is still stuck in his foot, and I'm just like, oh, my God, that's just, that's just so wrong. And
from a live perspective, I the way I've seen it from sitting front row, it looked like it was stuck in his bone, man.
Dude, it was
pulling on that thing.
It was stuck in there for good. And, yeah, a couple of days later, I actually got to meet his mother. That was just, like, 3 or 4 days later, a Wednesday show in West Virginia for Pondo's IWA East Coast. And his mother was there. And that's just always cool, getting to know parents or grandparents or just family in general of your coworkers, of other wrestlers, because that's where you sort of become more than a colleague and sort of, like, a family member. And yeah, she was just all like, ah, oh, so you're one of those idiots who does those matches with my son.
I'm glad you said that earlier too, because that was definitely something I was going to ask you, is, you know, as being a, you know, quote unquote hybrid wrestler, I mean, I've seen these guys over here from where I am, and, you know, JC and Nick Mondo, and I watched them all, like, nonstop, and you came out of nowhere in Germany. I always wondered, like, was he watching these guys? Because he's going that same route, and he's doing damn fine at it, you know?
Yeah, that surprised me to hear that he was actually watching all that stuff. That was a huge, huge compliment for me.
Yeah, that's great, man, because
he's
definitely done his thing.
Yeah, and another huge compliment, I remember Marco Eisenbart, one of my good friends, he actually did that documentary on me, Cutting Deep, and he was shooting stuff for another documentary, and he was also shooting stuff with JC, and I just happened to see that interview a couple of days ago, And Marco asked JC, well, if I should return to death matches, or what's his opinion on that. And JC was totally honest with that, and he was just like, I really hope he does come back to death matches so I can wrestle him again. And apparently, well, that's not gonna happen. But, yeah, just a huge compliment. Just such a good experience. I've only wrestled him one and only got to hang out with him at a couple of shows, but I can tell that he was a good human being, and just a shame.
Yeah. And we've gone into, you know, what, you know, leaps and bounds and the extents that this guy would go to for the love of the business. And from what I had heard, just, you know, just as whether it's a rumor, whether it's not, I mean, maybe you could answer that, but I had heard that you weren't even supposed to use syringes in Philly.
Well, that is true, actually. The funny thing about that is, they called the show Walking on Pins and Needles. And, well, if you call a show Walking on Pins and Needles, that's sort of going to create certain ideas in the minds of the guys competing in that match, in that main event match. And we were like, yeah, well, it would be kind of boring to only walk on thumbtacks, so let's bump it up a notch. And that's actually what we did. And you guys do not want to know what JC's original plan was for that syringe spot in his foot. That was just insane and off the charts. And I had to really talk him out of a lot of stupid ideas for that match. And he just wanted to go all the way. And if he would have done, he would have ended up in a wheelchair, I guess. So, yeah, I think JC is one of those guys that you just have to talk out of his stupid ideas at times just for the sake of his own health.
Right. Yeah, the man definitely, I mean, he went all out.
He did.
Yeah. That's why, to an extent, yeah, I'm very happy to see that you got out of deathmatch wrestling, even though, you came out of nowhere and one of the best, you know, altogether hybrid deathmatch wrestlers ever. And now I hope your wrestling career from here on out just goes very, very well, and you keep safe, man, because we don't need to lose anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
I came out of nowhere. So,
to an American fans, I'm sure everybody knew about you the whole time, you know, over there, but to American fans, you came out of nowhere and you really blew the scene up, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, but I've been doing that stuff, like, for years before I got to the States first, and, yeah, what was I going to say? Yeah, you guys have probably not seen my last death match because I've had that in Germany. I don't know if that DVD has been watched in the States yet. But at the end, I do a speech after my match, and I answer the question that's on everybody's mind, like, why are you retiring from death matches? And all I said was, well, if I wouldn't retire now, they would put me in my grave sooner or later. And because I'm just one of those guys, just as JC, who would go any length to entertain a crowd and, sometimes come up with very, very, very stupid ideas. So, you can't do that stuff forever.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, just a short amount of time that I've seen you live and stuff. I mean, you took quite a bit of abuse, man. I can't lie, man. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So, man, by all means, I would get out of that before it kills you, because it damn sure looks like it should.
Yeah, it's just something, as I said, that would kill you if you do it forever. You can't do it forever. And, well, I'm just happy not being in pain every morning now when I wake up. And I still wrestle over here in Europe. I still do regular shows, regular matches and all. And,
Yeah, that's good, man. Well, I mean, it's a pleasure having you on, TJ.
Thank you.
I just want to kind of reflect on everything. And, you know, you definitely did JC a good amount of justice, and we're just going to keep doing it, man.
All right. Thank you guys again for having me, and...
You're very welcome, and I wish it was under a better circumstance than it is, but...
All right.
Yep, so that right there, it was our interview with Thumbtack Jack, and I know, Billy, you were right there next to that ring.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got any more thoughts on that match, because...
Well, on both, on both things. I mean,
yes.
TJ was already a friend of mine, too, before all that stuff, so that was really cool that we're going to get to do all that stuff together. Right back to the being hidden in the crowd and doing that run-in on poor TJ at Cage of Death, the roof coming off the building, the brain buster on the concrete blocks, you know what I'm talking about, like TJ went for the ride there. I just remember that, Thumbtack Jack had already been through so much in his match with Nick Gage, and I just remember in the back TJ saying, "Man, I thought I was really beat up, man, the whole time, Billy. But, man, after when he put me on those cinder blocks, oh, now that really hurts." I say, I'm done. I said to JC, "No, not one more, no." He goes, "That fucking hurt, man." That was kind of cool. As far as what you want me to talk about, the infamous Thumbtack Jack, JC Bailey, walking on pins and needles, barefoot,
right,
Thumbtack syringe match. And, the one thing I will say is watch very closely on the DVD, and somewhere almost out of frame, you'll hear JC yelling to get it out. And it kind of like, it's right when Thumbtack Jack's starting to go for the one in his neck, maybe. And, you can see me at the bottom of the frame yank the, syringe out of his foot. And then you can kind of see me like, when the match is over and JC has won the match, you see me get on the apron, and you'll see it right by my palm on the apron, and you'll see me grab it and pick it up with me. And don't see this as well in the DVD, but Jay knows because he was in the front row, and I was showing it to everybody in the front row as we walked out, and the crooked condition of the needle. I still have that one, man. It's like right there with like spent shell casings from Dawn of the Dead and all these other like pieces of movie memorabilia and other things that I have. I mean, I have these little plastic cases and including like the staple DJ put in my head at Cage of Death the year before. It almost took my forehead off coming out. Right there with that syringe. So I have that. It's a grisly souvenir, and I'm glad I kept it now. And as far as someone knowing they weren't supposed to use something, I have no comment on that because that's
right.
How it is. I please.
I'd like to also welcome to the line right now. We have the other former member. What's that?
Hello.
Yeah, we have Nate Webb on the line.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Nate? We got Billy Graham here, and, we're doing our best to tribute JC Bailey, just trying to get some stories from you. I know you've known him a long time, and, So what's going on, Nate?
Going in. So I meant like, sorry, I'm late, I think.
No, that's okay.
So are we on right now? Or
what's the... Yes, we are.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not too used to these things, so.
Everyone's giving you a chance to roll, man, because everybody else is talking already, brother. So what's up, man? How are you? And fly with whatever, man, I guess is what Jay's saying. Like, we've just been talking about JC and his contributions to the business and, any stories that people have about, JC.
I met JC a couple times before I ever wrestled him, and actually the first time I wrestled him was for IPW several years ago before JC was with IWA, and that was the first time we wrestled, and we just kind of clicked and hit it off from there. And then once Ian brought JC in to IWA, you know, we had about a lot of matches. I mean, like, we feuded for, you know, over a year probably. I mean, and then the CZW stuff that we, you know, with Chris Cash and everything like that, you know, against Team Blackout. I mean, I've been his tag team partner. I've been his opponent. I mean, me and him had a match against Sabu and everything else. And, you know, I just always know JC for, I mean, as I said, I mean, as far as that goes, me and JC, as far as, we've never been any, you know, like, you know, there's been great feuds in wrestling, you know, like, it's like, I'm just going to talk about independent stuff right now, like, you know, you got your Punks and your, you know, Ace Steels and your Heroes and Punks, and then you got your Nigels and Jerry Lynn and all these guys, and, you know, we weren't anywhere, you know, near that kind of caliber, but, you know, our hearts were in it, and be, you know, we went out there and gave it our all, and just something a little bit different, you know, kind of like hardcore meets, you know, kind of, you know, like the junior weight division type thing. There wasn't just all weapons. It was, you know, a little bit of both, you know.
Yeah, it's a hybrid wrestler.
Hybrid style. And I was a fan of all those matches that you guys did, both against each other and with each other that I've ever seen, including the stuff in IWA and the stuff in CZW. Like, a lot of great stuff and a lot of great chemistry with you guys, both as opponents and as allies in the squared circle. And certainly it seemed like that, you know, like, there had to be, like, because, you know, we know JC, so we all know what kind of guy he was, always an upbeat guy. So, I mean, you had to have a friendship outside the ring when you're working that closely.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
so long.
Some of the stuff we did, I mean, you know, you got to trust the people, you know, they take care of you. I mean, like, especially some of the things we did, you know, it's like, I mean, we're working with stuff and, you know, high up and things like that. Like, we didn't have to, it got to a point where we didn't even have to say anything to each other, really, at the end, you know, before we went out there and had a match. We just kind of knew what each other were going to do, and we just kind of went with it, you know. It's just kind of like a flow, and we, you know, fed on what the crowd liked, and if something was working, we stayed with it, you know, and sometimes, you know, we, you know, flipped around and did some, you know, gimmicks. Sometimes we just pounded each other. As I said, I mean, there was a match in Philly that was me and JC, and we had a scaffolding involved or whatever. And the finish of that match was called on the fly because the original finish wouldn't have worked with what we had. So I said, hey, JC, just trust me and lay on this table, please. And, you know, he trusted me enough to do it, and then, you know, as I said, he'd give his body for me, and as I would for him, and you know, it was rough. It was rough. Monday morning when I heard the news, Mike Burns called me. It hit closer to home than usual and stuff. So I mean, I was down there for his funeral last Thursday, and you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I mean, we've had a lot of friends, you know, pass along the way, but for some reason this was a little rougher because it's someone that, you know, I knew very well, and lost touch with him in the last, you know, couple of years or whatnot, you know, and whatever. But then, you know, I heard he's, you know, doing better and everything else, and it's just a shame, you know, that it had to come about how it did. You know, people go out there, we go out there every night, especially, you know, even when we were younger. I mean, you know, we think we're indestructible, but, you know, we're really not. And, I mean, as I said, I don't know what it was, you think you're indestructible. The crowd makes you feel indestructible. You know, you do what you do and half the things we did, and then you walk away, and you're like, I'm good. You know, you get this euphoric feeling of, yeah, nothing can touch me, but it's not always the case. And unfortunately, you know, his death was very untimely, and I mean, if I could trade places with him, I would. I mean, he was a great guy, and I mean, it's hard for me to think that, I mean, because I've seen, you know, just the matches we've been in, you know, all the stupid stuff we did and all the idiotic stuff that probably shouldn't have done, and you know, as far as wrestling-wise, and we'll walk away with scrapes and bruises and cuts and everything else, but, you know, we probably should have been a lot more hurt than we were, but, you know, and then this happens, and it's hard to swallow. It's another thing too. It's like the cage of, you know, the Team Cash and stuff. You know, me and him had to be there, you know, for Cash's funeral, and then Cash was gone, and now we have to be there for his funeral.
I think something you hit on for me, man, is just the idea of what you said about, you know, when you trust each other in those matches you had together, and that you trust the person to take care of you, and you know, and then when something like this happens, you know, it's always when there's nobody there to watch out for the other guy at that moment, and that's why it's
kind of, like you said, maybe you expect it more when you're doing something
insane, you know, but the other guy's there for you, man, and you know, it's not at that peak of danger, you know, that it's like kind of like, you know, everybody turns their head for a second and then somebody's gone, you know what I mean, and you can't. It's a feeling of helplessness, I think, and whereas maybe when somebody's right there, you got that hand keeping you with us, you know, and man, just like, well, I can speak as a fan and a friend, man, like that. I know everybody, man, appreciates what you guys did together, man. I mean, indebatable, you know, and once, you know, I don't know what you heard earlier, Nate, but like, you just echoed that everything everybody else has said, starting with me, through this whole tribute that these guys are doing, is that JC was just so well-liked as a person, like nobody ever had. He's one of those rare people that no one ever had a crossword to say about, you know, and
No, and I never did. No, I mean, I get on his ass every once in a while, you know.
Of course.
Everyone has their demons or whatever.
Yeah.
That went through, and like, I mean, I almost looked at him, you know, like I was a kid when I came in. He was younger than I was, you know, am now. You know, it's like people looked out for me when I came in, and like I like to think that, you know, I we were more of the same size, and I like to think I looked out for him too. And it's just like, you know, I busted his balls a lot, you know, and got on his case about some things, you know, hey, listen, you know, this maybe you need to calm down or something, this, and you know, and he'd be like, oh no, and he'd listen to me, and you know, and I talked to his dad, at the funeral, and his dad Joe came up to me and he said, you know, hey, thanks for, you know, always being there, looking out for my kid. You know, he told me about some things and stuff that I had only told JC. So, I mean, I'd like to think that, you know, it made some kind of impact on him. And as I said, you know, he's getting himself back together and, you know, doing a hell of a job. And it just, you know, sometime down the road, shortly, me and him were supposed to eventually, you know, wrestle, you know, kind of come back and do it
all again, baby.
Together.
I would kind of like to think that, you know, when you guys came over, you know, and you did the Team Cash thing, I mean, the IWA invasion happened and everything else, and like you just said, taking care of each other, I mean, that, as a fan, it kind of looked like, I mean, you guys came over and you were making sure everything was going well in, you know, uncharted territory to take care of each other, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, when we came over there, we didn't know, I mean, like, when I first came over, I knew Nick Mondo. That's who I knew. That was pretty much the only person I knew. I didn't know anyone else. I mean, we all went over there together. I knew the people, you know, Corp and Necro and Ian and Axel, me and JC. Those are the people I knew. I knew Mondo, and then, like, you know, and then, you know, I met, you know, good people like Benny or B-Boy and you know, Nick Gage and all those guys, and, you know, they kind of, Zandig and Wife Beater and all those guys, and, you know, we all start getting along, and then, you know, every month we, you know, go out to Philly together, and then that was our crew that, you know, went out there, and then, you know, as I said, it's a hard thing to swallow, and I don't know what I can say to make anyone feel better, but other than the fact that, you know, JC lived his life to the fullest. He lived, I mean, I don't think he's going to have any regrets about what he did, as far as wrestling-wise. He did what he loved, and, you know, it was balls to the wall every time he did it. And, you know, I know this for a fact. I was out there with him. I mean, I was in the ring with him. You know, we knocked each other out. We we hurt each other, not on purpose, but, I mean, but we never, after a match, we never had anything ill will said. There was never any cross words said. We thanked each other. Like, I've never had, me and him never, ever gotten a disagreement about anything, about, you know, something going wrong. Because how, man, we screwed up. People screw up all the time. But, I mean, as I said, you know, our feud wasn't, you know, I mean, maybe not epic like some of the feuds, but I tell you what, I mean, no one can say we didn't, you know, put our hearts in there, and JC didn't, but he was always down for everything. I mean, half the things that he did looked like I'm killing him were his ideas, you know, and vice versa. I just, I mean, it's hard to think that I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to be able to, you know, relive that again with him, per se, but, you know.
Yeah, it definitely never came off like anyone was twisting JC's arm to do what he wanted to do, because his passion was out on the table. Everybody sees.
I mean, he has some ideas sometimes, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Why would you want, that's, I don't even feel comfortable doing it. He's like, no, it's good. It's good, bro. And then that's where the whole, you know, bam, you know, the thing called, bam, you know, you duck the thing and bam, and I was like, so we started making fun of. We did that when we were calling some stuff with Sabu in that three-way match in Highland, Indiana, and I kept going, you know, bam and bam. And Sabu looks at me and goes, "Spider, what the fuck is bam?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it, Sabu. It's cool."
Bam.
Yeah. If it's okay, I'd like to also bring onto the line another guy that I believe both of you guys are very familiar with. I'd like to bring on Tracy Smothers. You there?
Tracy, there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, Tracy?
Good, guys. What's happening? Are we on,
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the show. We got Nate Webb. We got Billy Graham. And, you know, we're all trying to tribute JC and,
yeah.
You know, thank you for coming on, man.
You're welcome.
Everybody still there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. What's up, Tracy?
Right.
Nate Webb.
Tracy. Billy Graham, brother.
How you doing, Tracy?
Did we lose Tracy, man? There.
You come back.
Hello?
No, Tracy's still here. Tracy's still there.
Oh, okay.
Can you hold just 1 second?
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
You want me to sing or something?
Yeah.
Hey, all right, guys. I'm with you.
All right, Trace.
Okay.
Yeah, we wanted to bring you on, you know, share the memories of J.C. Bailey, and, I mean, you're one of his trainers. You've known him as long as anybody, so go ahead, man.
Go ahead, man.
I'm still here.
So am I.
Okay, Tracy. Wow. Nate, you still there?
I'm still here.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Can you hear me out?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I call you out?
I got a bad name or something. Is that okay?
Yep.
Of course.
All right.
I'll call you right back.
What happened?
I think something happened to him, and he has to call.
He needs to call back.
All right, wait. He's calling me right back. All right, just give me 1 second, right?
How come some people echo on their voice and others don't? What's going on?
That's a speakerphone. Anytime someone puts me on speakerphone, I ask them to not do that.
All right, Tracy, let me know.
All right.
Tracy,
you
there? Yeah, I am. I'm just at work, guys. I'm sorry. I'm on the phone.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thanks, Brandon. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Tracy, I got something to ask you about, brother.
Yeah.
Joe Bailey told me today that...
Hey, listen, can you hold just 1 second? Let me get in the car. I'm going on. I got to deliver out here to Toyota. Okay, hold on.
Don't get caught, Tracy. Don't get caught.
Is it easier if I get off the line for a minute, or
no? Don't leave
okay.
me.
I'm here.
I was trying to kickstart something for Jay here. Tracy, Joe Bailey told me today that one time, one of the first things that JC did was that Bull Payne threw JC like he was a mark in the crowd, and he threw him through like 15 rows of chairs, and that you saw it, and that you thought it was a shoot, and you went after Bull. Is there any truth to that rumor, sir?
Who, me?
Tracy. Oh, epic fail. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Yeah, it just seems like a bad connection or something like that, but, I mean, if we can correct that, that'd be phenomenal, but, definitely looking forward to, just hearing Tracy's, opinions on everything, and sounds like a crazy story.
Yeah.
Tracy's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
I've heard nothing but good about him.
Is he with us? Yeah, Joe just told me that story today, guys. He said that Bull threw JC like he was a mark in the crowd, and that basically saw it. And...
All right, Tracy's back on the air.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right.
Tracy, there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go,
you guys. Okay.
All right. I don't know if you heard the story that Billy just about to bring back up, but I don't know if you want to rehash that, Billy, or...
I can't understand.
You understand
me? I'm hearing for some reason. I hear y'all the voice, when you say something in place again, and then I'm hearing now. Weird.
Well, echo.
There's a lot of echo.
Now, somebody, what was it you said? You talked to Joe Bailey today and what?
Yeah, I did. It's Billy Graham. I talked to Joe Bailey today, and he said that before JC had worked a match, one of his first spots he ever had, he was just a mark, a shill in the crowd, and that Bull Payne grabbed him and threw him like 15 rows of chairs, and that you saw it and thought that Bull had really attacked, like you thought it was a shoot, and you ran over to defend JC from Bull. And you weren't aware that JC was a shill in the crowd, and that was what Joe told me today.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, oh, my God, Bolton went nuts. I remember that. And Bolton goes, it's not working, brother. I was like, oh, my God. So you convinced me. But, God bless him.
Yeah.
God bless him. Yeah, no, but... when JC was 16, he done some backyard shows and some shows outside of Kentucky because you got to be at least 18 to work. And Dad come up to him because I worked with Dad a lot over the years, and knew him real good. Knew Joe was always cool. Joe and I were always cool, and things like that. And he said, I wish you teach my son how to work. I don't want him doing all this crazy hardcore and all that. He never wanted him to do that. You know what I mean? And so in the same class was Chase Stevens. You guys remember him?
Yep.
Chase Stevens, natural, would work out with him in the ring on Wednesdays in Evansville. And he was still doing crazy matches, weed eater matches, and all that stuff. He wasn't able to work in Kentucky yet, but he was a natural in the ring. He could always work. He was always into something. I want a good story. On him and Simon Says, they started together, and
they got in somebody's car. They didn't steal it, but they rode around the parking lot out back in Amazon just joyriding. They got arrested. They got bags of trouble for that. It was a big stink, and they had a buzz. You know, and it was funny. And I made them run. Oh, my God, I made them run like you wouldn't believe. It made them work out in the ring the whole time. Didn't give them a break. And JC keeps going. So is Simon. They keep going. JC just had he always had a smile on his face. I was just screaming at him, like, what the hell are you doing? You're throwing it all away. Get in the gym. You put all that energy into your partying and everything else to do. Why don't you work out? You know, he swam, but he never would train.
Is that gimmick infringement from Buddy Lee Parker, or you were being the drill sergeant, in other words?
Oh yeah.
Well, if you're part of the reason why he was that tough, you did your job, bro. Because JC was tough as nails, man.
Yeah, he was a tough kid. He wasn't scared of it. He wasn't afraid of nothing. That's why he got to work with guys like Pondo and some of them and New Jack and a lot of them. And I can remember New Jack first. He goes, New Jack. He goes, Jay. He goes, who's that skinny motherfucker right there I'm working with? And I said, hell, we'll do whatever you want, Jack. I said, he's not afraid to take anything. And after Jack got out there with him, worked with him, Jack sold his ass off for him. And he come back. I said, Jack, I've never seen you sell like that for anybody. He goes, he's looking at me. He goes, that motherfucker's crazy. I said, Jack, but you call somebody crazy, that's saying something.
I'm sure JC thought that was a compliment coming from him.
Oh, yeah. And Joe was worried about it. I remember seeing the show, and he said, how did Jack work with Joe? I said, I'm telling you, Joe. I said, he sold his ass off for JC. They had a hell of a match. It was a tag match. I can't remember who all was in it. I can remember that. And, of course, he worked with Pondo everywhere,
Yeah.
I remember one time when me and JC had one of our matches, and Tracy was behind the commentary. He comes back in the locker room. This is at the Clarksville building. He comes back in the locker room, and he's like, what the hell's wrong with you guys?
Well,
how you doing, Tracy?
Who is this?
This is Nate Webb.
Hey, okay, Spider Nate Webb.
How you doing?
Is this Spider Nate Webb?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Are you still working?
Yeah, occasionally. I've taken a hiatus for
I've done that a few times myself. I just got back working really in April, around my job, and, it's just sad how many guys have passed just in the last 2-3 weeks, It's just crazy.
Yeah. I was telling them earlier, I've done a lot of good guys have passed, but as far as JC, that kind of really hit home for me because, someone, around my age, and still not very old. He was only, 26?
26,
Just to turn 27 a week before he passed.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things, man, he's still a kid.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying he had a brain aneurysm, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Cleaned himself up and was doing okay.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes it hardest. A lot of the fans have stepped up and not gone the usual routes with the hate and stuff like that, but some of them still stoop to it. But just, the assumptions that were being made because of people's, private life being public knowledge. Those who were closest to him, me and my friends that have been working with him this whole year, knowing what's going on with him day to day, he really, really had turned his life around and really had. It was the second coming of J.C. Bailey. He'd never been working better. He had really gotten past a lot of his troubles. He had a great girl. Things were going good with his family, his coworkers, his performance, the fans.
And I feel so sorry for her. I feel bad for her. I saw her at the funeral, and it was just hard.
He really had turned things around for himself, and that makes it twice as bitter,
It's the same thing with Candido when he passed, he turned everything around, got in TNA, he broke his ankle, and what was it, a blood clot? Some freak accident from breaking your ankle. How does that work?
It's a brutal business, guys. It's just brutal, and those who've been in the ring know that. It just robs you, of your
of everything. I mean, it just destroys you. It can, mentally, physically, spiritually, everything. I've got out a couple of times for a year or two and needed to, or I think I'd have been in casualty too, because it just beats you to death. The head trips alone, but physically, you know, it's like a football player has one game a week. Well, if you work 2, 3, 4, 5 nights, you're having to got the ball game every night. I mean, you got to leave it all in the ring. The bar's so high now anyway, you know.
And we ain't wearing helmets.
And there's not helmets and shoulder pads and knee pads. And,
right.
You know,
and more importantly,
off-season. Football players, like concussions and, you know, hamstrings or ankles or any of that, you know, ribs, you know, they're out 2 weeks to a month where we'll work 3, 4 nights in a row or more or every night.
And they got doctors. They got doctors at their call. Trainers, doctors, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at someone like a few years ago with like Benoit. I mean, you get this dementia thing that goes on. And I mean, like sometimes, like after a while, you take a couple head blows. I mean, there's periods of times where you don't know what reality and.
Oh yeah, believe me, you're singing to the choir. I know.
And most people are always working.
They say that every bump you take in the ring is like a car. Say you drive in a car hitting you behind, going 25 mile an hour. So it's a car wreck. That's a regular bump in the ring. You know?
Yep. Just
that's a regular bump. That's a regular bump. Imagine stuff like JC, you know, coming off, you know, through two tables and stuff like that. I mean, you're 15 feet in the air, and you're leaning back first, and who knows if your head's going to hit or not. I mean. After a while, you just come oblivious to it.
You know, Nate, with the things you've done and coming up with JC and with Tracy, you being a veteran, I want to put something to you guys about what you're talking about right now and see if this is not a fitting tribute to JC, because the one thing that resonated with everybody that's known him through different periods of his career here, Tracy, from Bull, from Sexy Eddie, Toby, you, Nate, me recently and everything, what I would like to say, we all said the same thing and the fans, Jay said it too, that he came out and he always gave 100% of what he did, and he had a passion for the business. And, you know, the thing I want to say, and we all know that he wouldn't have regrets about the decisions that he made to entertain the fans or to fulfill that passion that he had for professional wrestling. And, I mean, the one thing I'll say is that professional wrestling is always going to be the one that's the traditional target, you know, because it's not a legit sport and all this. But, you know, I mean, listen, stuntmen, MMA fighters, boxers, football players, ice hockey players, you know, have the same incidences of traumas to the head, you know, brain injuries, things like this.
But, you know, they spar and everything. They don't go all out. I mean, like, you know, look at Brock Lesnar. He's the baddest man in the world. And he quit.
Tracy, that it's not as traditionally vilified. Like, you know, it's more accepted. But then every time something like this happens in wrestling, you've got some people that want to come out of the gate and really – you know, point the finger at wrestling, you know, and then these other industries are bigger, have more general shit attached to them than any professional wrestling, but they're not.
I mean, there's the good and bad in everything. I mean, you can't have good without bad. You can't have bad without good, you know, light, dark, whatever. It's pointed out more, you know, there is the bad side of wrestling, but there's also the wonderful side of wrestling. Very, very wonderful people in wrestling. I've met some bad people in wrestling, but I've met some very wonderful people. I met like Tracy's fathers. When I first met Tracy, he didn't have to give me the time of day, man. Tracy's been all over the world, man.
Can you hold just 1 second for me? I gotta make this to him. Hold on.
Yeah, but it's very true. I mean, this man put he put everything out there that he had, and you know, he held nothing back, and it definitely reflected on.
He loved it, man. He loved it. He still loves
it. Yeah. He never ceased to amaze me, and I don't think there was a person he encountered in that ring or as a fan that he failed to impress. Just honestly.
Not at all. All good.
Okay. Jay,
yeah.
We got 5 minutes until the other show.
Okay, in about 5 minutes, what I'm going to have to do with the show is we're going to hang up. Anybody want to call back online right now, it's not a problem, but we're going to continue doing it. We have a few more guests. We have some more pre-records, and we just got to do that to continue the show because it's, you know, hitting that limit, and we're just going to do like a second show. Everything will still be on, and just so everybody knows.
All right.
All right.
So,
yeah, but you know, have people say to me, they go, well, how do y'all do that with the chairs? How do you keep them getting hurt? I said, well, you don't keep them getting hurt. You're getting hit with that chair. And they're like, no way. They said, well, you know, it's mind-boggling to people once they really, you know, they have no idea. I always tell them, I go, y'all got about as much clue about as I do making a nuclear weapon when it comes out
there.
Yeah. As any clue on it. Am I wrong or right?
You're right.
Think about it. Do they know anything about it, getting the car driving a few hundred miles or whatever it is, you know, and getting out to go do that, and then 9 times out of 10, buildings don't have showers. If you have to, like
JC and guys like that, they did the hardcore matches, you got lucky to find a place to wash off, get in the car and drive again,
yep.
You know, and then go do it the next night. You know, like I said, Brock Lesnar's the baddest man in the world. He quit.
Yep.
Some people are smarter than that.
$1 million contract.
Quit, you know?
Yep.
Because he couldn't take the travel, for one thing.
Well, JC never quit, man.
And it's like, there's people that just get, I mean, like, even this, like, professional, and I'm sorry, what Tracy said, you get worn on, you know, you're doing it 5 nights a week, special, I mean, like, and it doesn't matter if you got injured one night, you're going out the next night, you got to drive another 200 miles somewhere else
and you do it, it ain't promoters much pushing, it's you pushing you, because it's in your blood. You'll do whatever it takes, you know, to keep going, and you push yourself to no ends, and you don't realize it, I've got out a couple times and didn't realize how beat up and banged up I was until I took a break, and I was like, well, oh my God, slow down, you know, it's crazy. When, like now, it's fall, the weather changed. I mean, any of you guys been in the ring, you're stiff, aren't you, you know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of...
48 years old, okay? You get 48.
No matter where you get your broken bones, when you get older, you begin to feel those broken bones again.
Yeah.
But well, like, I'm 30.
Drink a lot of water and take care of themselves the best they can. Water helps you recover. I mean, I really believe all the leaks I've had, you know, I wouldn't be here and pray.
Like, I got people like Conan used to tell me back in the day. He's like, you need to calm down, because I used to think, you know, I was like for you, and now he goes, now I'm hurting all the time. I'm like, no, it's not going to happen to me. I wish I would have listened to him, you know, 7 years ago.
Yeah,
because he's right. And believe it or not, how old are you now, Tracy?
I'm 48.
Yeah, I'm 33, and I can feel it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Like, I'm in January, and like it's January, and I'm in the Midwest, and all of a sudden we go to L.A. And down to Cabo, and the cops, all of a sudden the heat change, and just the weather change, you can feel it in everything. You're like, my ankle, what's wrong with it? It's not working.
Yeah, exactly. You can sit any time, you know, it just hits you. It's crazy. You know, the simplest moves can be the hardest to do, you know, simple things. And it beats you up. People don't even realize it. Even hit the ropes, cable. That's what, I mean, when I started back in 05, I got out from about 02, 03 to 05. Here and there, I did a seminar somewhere, and some guy was there, and he was some kind of a shoot fighter, and I didn't know much about it all then. I still don't. But he was saying this, and he's a nice guy. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, you know, he was saying he could whip these guys and do this. I said, you want to fight somebody? I said, I'll fight you. I said, but here's what you're going to do. I said, first of all, you're going to hit the ropes for 5 minutes. First, you're going to take 10 bumps. Meaning, you know, falls, or however y'all say it. You know, I said that to him. I was messing with him, kind of. And he goes, you going to show me how to do it? I said, you going to show me how to shoot fights? No. He couldn't, didn't know how to, didn't fall in the middle of the ring, throw in his butt, hurt his tailbone, hit the ropes. Didn't know how to hit the ropes, put his arm up over the top of nothing, fell through the ropes, fell down 14 times, how the ropes, you know, ring gives. I mean, he couldn't believe it. And finally, he just went head first out of the ring. About killed him. I mean, they don't have any idea, you know, what it is in the ring. You know, how bad the ring can beat you up, you know.
I mean, you got to realize, you're knowingly doing this. Like, say I'm on the top rope and I do some kind of stupid flip thing or whatever, or an awesome salt or whatever, or whatever the fuck they're called, and I do something, and I know that guy's going to move. So I know, it's not like a gymnast. I'm not landing on my feet. I know that I'm landing on my back, and my head's going to snap against the mat, or something's going to happen. I knowingly do this, and you get hurt anyway, and people don't realize what the mental, I started going to, a gymnastics gym to just, asking him, I want to know, learn different how to rotate my body and stuff like that and stuff. He's like, well, you land on your feet. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I can't land on my feet. I got to land on my stomach or my back or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, why would you want to do that? And I try to explain it to him. I mean, it's one thing, and you do it into a foam pit, and then all of a sudden, you're like, all right, now I got to figure out how to do it onto this ring. And everyone thinks it's all bouncy like it's some big trampoline. It's steel pipe and wood, man, with canvas over it.
Right. And some are hard brothers, aren't they, you know?
Jake had,
how many nights have y'all worked with us, like lumps in the ring, stuff like that, messed up, and things.
Oh, yeah, the boards were split apart.
Oh, yes, boards, yes, yes.
I saw Petey Williams go through a ring in Lytic, Indiana on an IWA show because the boards were fucked up. The only thing that held him from not going through the ring was the fact that canvas held intact.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do in those situations? I mean, you don't know. I mean, it just shit happens.
Yeah.
And JC, as I said, JC knew that. JC knew the risks involved. And, this is one thing about wrestling. Everyone that does it knows what they're getting into. No one should have posted anything.
Here's the thing, too, and everybody out there, I think, will agree with this. You know, you can't blame any shark promoter or booker or anywhere for him doing the crazy matches he did. He loved it. He was going to do it. You guys know that. He was doing weed eater matches at the Coliseum in Evansville here before he ever worked for anybody.
Yeah.
For Ian, for Combat Zone. So it's not nobody's, I mean, it's just like a man, if he wants to drink a beer or do drugs.
It was a free choice.
You know what I mean when I say that?
No one held a gun to his head. No one held a gun to his head.
Not at all.
It was a free choice.
That was his own free will, and he wanted to do it. He loved it. He loved every minute of it.
It's his passion, and it's an assumed risk that he understood.
I've seen it bloody from head to toe, and just like he was just like a pig and, pig and shit. You know what I mean?
He loved it enough to give his life to it, man. He loved it. To give his life to it, he loved it that much. Yeah. So,
there was, I've seen him beat up to death. I mean, beat beyond all recognition, and we beat him. And then he walks through that curtain. I walk through that curtain to the back, and I see him, and there's a big smile on his face.
Right.
And
he can
hardly walk. He's got a big smile on his face. Oh, that was great, brother.
Grinning from ear to ear.
Absolutely.
Ear to ear.
J-Cat. Jay. Good.
Jay.
Steven, man.
Jay.
By the way, what is this radio show called?
Yakuza Kick Radio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay. I've had calls from a few here lately, and, I could
hey, guys, we have to hang up the phone. Billy and Nate, if you guys can hang up and call back in the show, the reason why Jay, I guess, hung up. And he's calling back into the show, so I have to hang up and actually redial into the show.
I'll call back
to
go to the bathroom. But hey, Nate, man, Nate and Tracy, man, thanks. It was good to hear you guys, man.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, guys, enjoyed it. God bless
you,
JC.
And we're all missing JC.
Way. I love you, brother.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Love you, man.
Take care.
Bye.
All right.